Okay, good morning, everybody. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord today? Yes, in whatever state you are in. Okay, let's turn to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, verse 27 onwards. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature." Okay, Numbers chapter 14 and verse 4. So they said to one another, "Let us select a leader and return to Egypt." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for each one of us here today. We have come with an expectation, Lord, that we would hear you speak to us. So speak to us through your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Many times in our lives, we will meet close friends or close family members after a long time. And they may be believers, and when you meet with them and you talk to them, you find out that they have stopped following God. And when you talk to them, they will say that, you know, some situation happened in their life or some event happened in their life, and now because of that situation or event, they have stopped following God. Have you ever met those people? And I'm not saying this to say that we are better than them. We can be in the same place as them. And so today we are going to look into the Bible as to Numbers 13 and 14. They are very good chapters to read and meditate on. They are pivotal chapters in the Pentateuch, that something happened. God redeemed his nation from Egypt, and after about a year or year and a half, God spoke to them and said, "I'm going to give you the promised land." And Moses sent out the 12 spies. So they went into the promised land. They checked it out for 40 days. They came back with the grapes, right? And they gave a report. And it's very interesting to note that they say in verse 27, "It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit." But they mention the reason why they can't go in. Verse 28, "Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there." They saw something. And because they saw something, and they reasoned in their mind, they came to a conclusion that it is impossible to go forward because there are giants in the land. And then you can read it, they start crying and weeping. The whole nation, about 2.5 million people, they say this in verse Numbers 14:4, "Let us select a leader and return to Egypt." So it's like this. I want you to see the illustration, right? they were going and God had a plan. And at a certain point, they stopped. And now they are saying, I want to go back to where I came from. I want to go back. And this is a beautiful passage for us, because many times in our lives also, something could happen, a situation, a circumstance. And by sight, God is promising us the promised land and is saying, go forward. And what are we saying to God? The giants are there. I want to go what? Back. Right? I want to go back. And we see that two people, Caleb and Joshua, say, the Lord has promised, so He will give us the land. The giants are no problem for us. And Moses and Aaron also side with them. But the whole 2.5 million people say, no, we want to go back. And the consequence of that is God gets angry with the nation and says, you will roam in the wilderness for 40 years, right? And you will play round and round the mulberry bush, right? So for 40 years, that which was 11 days journey into the promised land, that was the discipline. For 40 years, they would roam in the wilderness, right? And we see this aspect of the nation not wanting to go forward because of a simple thing called unbelief. Unbelief. Right? This is very important for us today, that maybe we as individuals, we were walking, we were going forward with God, we were progressing, we were enjoying, we were celebrating, and maybe something has happened and we have stopped, right? And maybe now we are saying, okay, now God doesn't work for me, so I want to go what? Back. I want to go back, right? And this is an encouragement for us today, that God is encouraging us that He wants us to go forward. He wants us to go forward. Now, one of the greatest misconceptions of the Christian life is this, that if I believe in Jesus and I follow Jesus, then everything will be smooth in life. That is the greatest misconceptions, right? And that is the misconception which religions also offer. If you believe in this particular deity, then everything will be fine in your life. And that's not true, right? So this is really important for us to keep in mind, that God wants us to go forward today in our walk with Him. He doesn't want us to stop. He doesn't want us to press the pause button. He wants us to go forward today. And a good example for us today is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you read the Gospels, when He was popular, everybody was with Him. The multitudes were with Him. And later on, it became less and less. Finally, He's with the 12 disciples, out of which one of them betrays Him. And when they come to arrest Him, everybody else forsakes Him. And He's alone. But you know what He did? He went forward and He died on the cross. That's what the Bible says in Hebrews 12:2. He, beholding the joy which was set before Him, He despising the shame, right? He went forward and He endured the cross for us. And that is so beautiful today, and that is why we are sitting here today. Because why? He went forward, untouched by circumstance, untouched by situation, untouched by relationships. He went forward because He was focused on God the Father. Focused on God the Father. Right. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now when you read Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 is the conclusion of a thought which goes back to Hebrews 10. So let's turn to Hebrews 10. And what is that thought? In Hebrews 10 we see the author is saying to the Jewish Christians in verse 32, 10:32, but recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. That is the context. These Jewish Christians, at a certain point when they became believers, they followed the Lord. There was intense persecution. But even in the persecution, they were willing to lose their homes, they were willing to lose everything. Until they came to a certain point. And at a certain point, they decided that's enough. This is enough. Are we understanding? Now I want to go back. And the writer of the book of Hebrews is encouraging them to go what? Forward. He said, you came till this point. Let's say I started my Christian walk at a point. I came till this point. Now something has happened. Now you're deciding to go back or fall away. And the writer is saying, I want you to go forward. Forward. And how do we go forward? In chapter 12, verse 1, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Who are these cloud of witnesses? If you read Hebrews 11, it's all the Old Testament believers. Their life of faith is an example to us. And it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. What is the sin here? The sin here is the sin of unbelief. That when God promises us something and we don't believe it, it is the sin of unbelief. It has the same context when God promised them in Numbers 13, I'm going to give you the promised land, and they did not believe. It is a sin of what? Unbelief, right? And it says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And how do we run it? Looking. And the word looking is, we are looking attentively at Jesus, continuously looking, the author and the finisher of our faith. Right? That's the key to our lives today. That's the key to our lives. So, when we think about our walk with God, and we think, maybe some of us have decided in our heart, okay, I walked with God till this point, now I'll say bye-bye to him. I'll go back. Or maybe some of us have said, I walked till this point, now we'll do the pause button. We'll just pause and take a breather. Or some say, no, we'll do the stop button. But what is God saying this morning? I want you to go what? Forward. Now, there are weights in our life which stop us from going forward. You know, weights, right? Have you ever seen a person carrying a heavy bag and trying to go forward? God is telling us to drop it. It could be the weight of our past. We did something in the past, we can't get over it, and God says it is forgiven, the blood has cleaned it, it is settled, and we have to drop it and go what? Forward. It could be the weight of our possessions. Something, maybe money or home or property or something is holding me back from going back, going forward. Or it could be sentimental relationships, friendships, family, relationships, which are stopping me from going what? Forward. And God is encouraging us today, what? Let's go forward. Let's go forward today. In closing today, this message is a message about attitude. It's a mental state of mind. It's not about what you do for God or you don't do for God. It's a mental attitude we have towards God and His Word. And what is that attitude? That attitude is one of faith. Right? What is it? It's one of faith. God has promised it. Right? And He will do it. What do I need to do? I just need to believe it. That's it. It's an attitude. And if we get the attitude right, everything else will become right. Are you understanding? Right? Everything else will become right. You will be excited about coming to church. You will not be like, oh, should I, shouldn't I? No, you will be what? Excited. You will be excited about following God. You will be excited about prayer, reading your Bible, praying at home, praying in the church, about sharing the gospel, about missions. You will be excited. Why? Because we are looking unto Jesus, the author and the what? Finisher of our faith. So in conclusion today, let's get excited, right? Right? God is with us. God loves us. Yes, there are the Anakims. And we can say, you are bread. Right? You are bread because God has promised. Whatever challenge is there, whatever obstacle is there, whether it is health, whether it is some other problem, financial problem, God can help us overcome it. And what? Go forward. So that in the end we can say like Paul in 2 Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. So this is an encouragement this morning. We are almost at the end of the year. We can be thankful to God. December is going to be an exciting month. Right? So let's go what? Forward. Let's say that loudly. Let's go what? Forward. Not in our own energy. Not in our own strength. But in faith with the Lord. Amen? Let's go forward because He is with us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word, Lord. Help us not to get discouraged. Help us not to get weary, Lord. Help us not to live in doubt or unbelief. Because you have said, faithful is the one who calls you, who will also do it. All your promises are yes and amen. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts. Yes. Help us to take steps of faith, Lord, to put the past behind us, to say this is the day the Lord has made, let us rejoice and be glad in it, to take it one day at a time, to pray daily, give us today our daily bread, to do your will one day at a time, Lord. Bless the offering now, Lord, we pray. Thank you for providing for us. And bless the message to follow, Lord. Speak to us today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes. Great song, great message, right? So, if you like the message and the song, do you mind just standing for the reading of the scripture? One more time, okay? Let's turn to the book of Ruth. Ruth comes after Judges. Okay. And before 1 Samuel. Ruth chapter 1. We'll read from verse 19. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why then do you call me Naomi, seeing the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" Okay. Then chapter 4. Ruth chapter 4. We'll read from verse 14. "And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a kinsman, that his name be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons, hath borne him." Now we shift to the New Testament, just 2 verses from Hebrews, chapter 8. We'll read verse 6 and 7, Hebrews 8, verse 6 and 7. "And now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that the first covenant had been without fault, then there should have been no place sought for the second." Okay, let's pray. Father, we pray you would speak to our hearts. Thank you for the message we heard, the song. Just quicken our spirits now. And thank you for your visitation in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. Okay, we'll have our Bibles in the book of Ruth. The story of Ruth happened during the time of Judges. Okay, so there was this family. And there was a famine in Bethlehem. He took his wife and his 2 sons and went to the country of Moab. This sometime happened during the time of Judges, all right? So, and then what happened was his 2 sons took for themselves wives, and in the process of time, the man died and his wife, Naomi, became a widow. And then again, after some time, the 2 sons died. So Naomi is left with 2 ladies, 3 of them, 2 daughter-in-laws. And living in the country of Moab and seeing the discipline that came upon them and maybe a lack of favor, she concluded this was what her life is. And then she gets the news that God had visited Bethlehem with bread. So there's a blessing there. So they decided to go back. So Naomi discourages both of them from following her and said, "See, look at my condition. I'm a widow. I'm old. I'm left with nothing. What do you see in me to follow me?" And one of them goes back. She has an interesting name. Oprah Winfrey. No, Oprah. All right, but Ruth said, no, I am not going to go. I am not going to leave you. I am going to follow you. Probably it was very evident that the faith of Naomi did have an influence on the Moabitess Ruth. And Ruth's love for Naomi had to do with the faith that she learned from Naomi. So in some way, it is paying back. Is that amazing? Okay, so here is Naomi, and she said, change my name. Let's go to the registrar and change my name. My name is, I have a new name called Mara. Okay, don't call me. Naomi means pleasant grace. Mara means a bitter. Okay, because God has dealt with me in a very bitter way. Now, Naomi was aware of the law. And in maybe it was, and it was not according to the law, it was not right for a Jew to have anything to do with the Moabites. And so in that sense, their trip to sojourn in the land of Moab was a total violation of the law. Okay? If we continue, or if law became their principle of life, Naomi would have continued as Mara, isn't it? Because law reveals the holy character of God, or the holiness of God. And when there is a violation, the law brings in condemnation. And then there are consequences for a broken law. So in many ways, Naomi is not blaming God, but she is also probably guilty of the fact that they compromised on what the law had communicated to them, and they went contrary to it, and now they have found themselves facing consequences which were very difficult, right? Imagine she telling, God has testified against me. See the weight in her soul, and like the Almighty afflicted me. You know, if we live by the law, this would continue in our lives, because we are aware of the holy character of God. We are aware of the violations we commit because we have a sin nature, and the condemnation that comes to us. And number three, we are also aware of the consequences that follow, which is not a blessing at all, right? At this moment when Naomi made this confession, could she have ever imagined later on in the book some of the women would make another confession about her, saying that you are blessed of the Lord? This is what grace does for us. This is precisely where grace meets us. Just think about that. It is really phenomenal. Law, by the way, is holy. In Romans chapter 7, law is holy. But it was weak through the flesh to make anybody righteous or to justify anybody. Romans chapter 8, 2-4. Naomi had no clue that grace would meet her. Isn't that amazing? And what comes with grace? Remember, law has no redeeming value at all. Inasmuch as it communicates the standard of violation that we have made against God, law has no redeeming value at all. Grace has. God was going to work with this lady and with Ruth in such a phenomenal way that God was going to redeem things for Naomi. Is that amazing? And this is the blessing that is associated with the grace of God. It's phenomenal. We don't even know how it happens, but grace meets us. The grace of God visits us. We all, by the way, can testify when we first came to this church, right? We were all very crooked. maybe not physically, but mentally, spiritually, emotionally. Many of us were damaged goods. Many of us were in debt, maybe in business. Many of us didn't know where our right hand was from the left hand. It was a kind of an affliction that was upon us. We don't know. And we all, by the way, we all can testify. Isn't it? How many of us can testify when we actually showed up through these doors? We were not in good shape at all. You know, we came, we kept coming. There was a drawing power because of the grace of God. The Spirit began to move in our hearts. We began to experience healing mentally, spiritually, emotionally. Maybe some things that we thought can never happen to our lives started happening. Blessings of grace began to take over us, isn't it? We all, like years back, when I first came to church, and we all can testify, like when we were even in the Bible college, we didn't know what was going on. You would just sit there and wonder, but at the end of the class, we couldn't figure out much, but at the end of the class, we went like, wow, I like to be here. This is a great place. You know, when we walked first through the doors of this church, we were in that state. And little did we know, grace would immediately visit us. Isn't it? Naomi was in that state. It was a kind of affliction, and we were just like that. Maybe things, like we didn't know, okay, God, I'm in this condition, can anything happen? And we took many things to be normal to life, when in reality, the grace of God touched us. Maybe it was a friend who came and said a hello to you, or maybe it was somebody who spent a lot of their man hours with you, loving you, building you up, encouraging you, spending time. I can testify of that, you can testify of that, and it happened. And Pastor Brian made sure that he preached that certain sound of grace, isn't it? Why? Because as Pastor Daniel beautifully said, we have not come so far just to return. Just to return. No. Like grace met us there. Our availability, maybe through that one act of faith, just to come to a church and see what it is like, and maybe I'll hear the message and see what's going on. We began to experience blessings. Blessings physically, emotionally, mentally. Blessings materially. Blessings in relationships. God has added things. God has added children, and you name it, many things. Isn't it? That's why sometimes I like looking at my picture years back and saying, what a fellow this is. You know? We were like the Ninevites, having no clue what was going on. Or you look at the old pictures and that old, you know, posing for pictures, and you know, it's like, wow, from where to where? That was because grace had a redeeming value upon our lives. Whatever we lost because of the curse associated with the fall, the sin nature, God started restoring. Not just giving us what we lost, but giving us much more than what we lost. That's what redemption does. God has gained through redemption much more than what was lost through the sin of man. And we experienced that. It was like a double portion. And God promised the nation of Israel in the book of Joel, like whatever the canker worms and palmer worms and all I've eaten, I will restore to you double fold. Isn't that amazing? And this started happening to Naomi. Yeah, under the law, it would only be a preoccupation with that weight, that besetting sin, that affliction, and I'm guilty, it's over, my name is Mara, that's it. There's nothing more to look forward to. Why did I disobey God? I'm guilty, I should never have done that. I lost my husband, I lost my two sons. What has come upon me? There's nothing else, there's nothing better to look forward to in life. Nothing else to look forward to in life. But grace meets and begins to redeem her life. So if the law communicated the scripture as far as the violation of a mandate went, grace comes without contradicting what the law communicates. Grace comes to redeem our lives back to God. Grace has tremendous redeeming value. Law does not have redeeming value. Then we'll just quickly go through this story. It's a great story. Humble beginnings. Ruth goes to glean in the field, and it so happened that she ended up gleaning in the fields of Boaz, right? Was it a coincidence? I don't think so. It was not a coincidence. It was something that God supernaturally orchestrated. Sometimes the people we meet, you know, I'm sure marriages can testify of this, right? By mistake I met her, or by mistake I met him. No. We will testify on the altar. God brought me. Like, we are good with that. Like, yeah, and there is a principle of truth in it. For those who for whom it has not happened, it will happen. But there is divine guidance there. Like, you know, it looked like a total coincidence, but God was in a supernatural way orchestrating the steps of Ruth. And she happened to glean in the fields of Boaz. Now there is something happening in the heart of Naomi. Remember, Naomi was visited by the grace of God, and she's in a place of being able to redeem, or God was redeeming to her back what she lost. Her afflictions were slowly, they got a place to stay and all those things, humble beginnings, but God was beginning to do something fantastic in her life. Then in chapter 3 we see Naomi inquires, whose field did you go? And Ruth gives the details. And Naomi discerns something. Naomi not only discerned the fact of him being her kinsman, someone who could be a kinsman to Ruth because of he was a relative by blood. Naomi just didn't discern that. Naomi also discerned something about Boaz. You know, when law communicates the letter of what is right and what is wrong, grace goes beyond that and communicates to us the value of discernment. Ruth chapter 3 verses 1 to 5 talks about an incredible kind of a discernment Naomi is having. Is that amazing? Law has no discerning value. But grace connects us to the value of discernment. And what is it that the grace of God begins to communicate to us in terms of discernment? We have a beautiful verse in Psalm 103 verse 7. Moses, though he was under the law, under the dispensation of the law, Moses lived beyond the law in his relationship with God. That is why he didn't say, God, tell me what you want me to do and I'll do it. Moses said, God, show me, your presence should go with me. I want to see your glory. There was a relationship that Moses had with God that went beyond the law. And because Moses was related to God through grace, God could show Moses his ways. Is that amazing? Moses was in a place of discerning the ways of God, but the nation of Israel, or the congregation of Israel, but because they just related to God based on law, they could only know the acts of God. So when they were, as Pastor Daniel beautifully said, when they were brought to Numbers chapter 13 and tested there, it became very evident who knew the ways of God and who knew the acts, who just knew the acts of God. Law has no discerning value. Grace gives us tremendous discerning value. Discern who Jesus Christ is in your life. Discern it. Discern it. You know, it says in John chapter 10, verse 10, The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's Satan, he's the devil, and he has a kingdom behind him. He's not happy that we are now graced out in the beloved, that we are saved by grace maybe, or maybe after we were saved by grace, not knowing anything for a season and being in the shoes of Naomi, brought to a place now we have God's redeeming value upon our lives. And God also gives us the value of discernment. Thief comes to steal. We must have something in our possession for him to steal, right? Imagine a thief going into a house and house is just empty. What does he have to steal? He has nothing to steal. He wants to steal away from us the experiential blessings of grace. He wants to steal. Discern it and guard your heart with all diligence. Proverbs 4:23. Guard it. The blessings associated with the grace of God, which God has given us, is not to be left unattended or to the point where the thief has a thief feels like he can walk by and just steal that blessing and take away. No. Then he comes to kill. He has to kill something, that which is alive, no? He wants to kill what has been made alive in us by God. God has made our capacities alive for him. And the thief comes to kill our capacity for God. And it is up to us, and it is possible for us, if through the word of his grace that we are living, that it is possible for us to guard it and not let our capacities for God be killed by anything or any or myself or by anybody. Do not let your capacity for God be robbed away from us. We have a great capacity. God has great plans in store for us. Then he also comes to destroy. God is building something in us, in the new man. It's a word of grace buildup. It's called an edifice. There's something happening. We don't know. We haven't seen that, but there is something happening in our hearts, something happening in our souls. And he comes in and he wants to interfere with that work of God in our hearts to completely destroy that building that God is building inside of us. Under the law, just by rules and regulations, we cannot understand the value of discernment. But under grace, God gives us a discernment with respect to this. And God says, now exercise rule over your spirit so that you don't become like a city with its walls broken down. In fact, Proverbs 16:32 and Proverbs 25:28, the word of God says, he who does not have rule over his spirit is like somebody who's it's like a city whose walls are broken down. And imagine there is no security, no safety. Anyone can trample over it, isn't it? But he who has a rule over his spirit is mightier than he who can take a city. That's phenomenal. Naomi began to discern something beyond the condemnation of the law that was projected to her. She has become hopeful. You know, she gets the news and she says, hey, let's come up with a plan. It may look at face value as an error of judgment because Naomi is too possessive and coming up with a plan to get Ruth hooked up, but no, it is much more than that. Naomi has entered into the discerning value because of the grace of God that was upon her life. And she said, let's do this, because the integrity of Boaz in his relationship with God gave great confidence to Naomi in terms of who he can be to Ruth. What a discernment that is. The integrity and the godliness of this man, Boaz, though he was not the nearest kinsman, but the integrity that he had in his relationship with God brought in tremendous confidence in the heart of Naomi in terms of what God is able to do with her life and with Ruth's life. This is a discernment that comes totally through grace and never by law. Is that very interesting? And third, and I'll close with this, Hebrews chapter 7 verse 19 says, law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope by the which we draw nigh to God, we draw near to God. law has no perfecting value. I'll repeat that again. Law has no perfecting value at all. It cannot accomplish anything except communicate the standard and then bring in condemnation if there is a violation. Law does not have perfecting value, but the grace of God has perfecting value. What has perfecting value? The grace of God. And that is what we see at the end of the book of Ruth in chapter 4. To bring to its completion that which God purposed and that which God desired. Law can only have a warning in a preventive sense. Law can only have a warning in a preventive sense, and when there is a violation of it, there is the consequences that follow. Grace goes beyond, without violating the precepts of the law, grace goes beyond the preventive sense of the law and brings a believer, maybe who is guilty and maybe who is in his life of faith, really getting to know God through his failures and through his steps of faith, whatever, brings him into a place of being totally perfected. The law has no perfecting value. It couldn't, because it is weak through the flesh. The old sin nature takes over. But the grace of God, for grace of God, it's possible to give you and I such a perfecting value. And God will perfect that which he has promised. In Psalm 138 and verse 8. So here is Naomi in chapter 1 saying, I'm afflicted. Grace meets her, begins to restore things to her with tremendous redeeming value. Grace has redeeming value. Secondly, grace has the value of discernment. God, you know, Satan has this incredible plan, and the plan is this: oh, you're making progress as a believer? I know what to do. I have ways to come to steal what you possess. I have ways to come and kill what has been made alive in you. Because if I let you go freely, you will enter into the perfecting value of grace. And I have plans to come in subtle way to destroy what God is doing in you. And many times, it may not necessarily be a testing in relationship to John chapter 10 verse 10. It could be a temptation. Or it could be things that come in a way where we are drawn back with self-analysis and confusion and questions regarding where are we called, who's my, and all those kind of things, only to get us to a place of undoing what grace has begun to do. That is where we really guard our hearts. And as Pastor Daniel beautifully said, it's not even about what we go through that matters. It's really not about what we go through, because right there the temptation is to look back and say, in Proverbs 25 verse 11, I think it's listen to edification. It's a beautiful verse that says, like apples of gold and pitchers of silver is a word that is spoken in due season. Timely word. God has this timely word for us through grace. He speaks, he instructs. A smoking flax he will not quench. A bruised reed he will not break until he has brought forth judgment into victory. In Matthew chapter 12. He speaks, he instructs, he warns and teaches us to guard our hearts about what we have received, what is made alive in us, and what God is doing in us, and never trade it for anything that the world has to offer us. When we, Ruth was brought into this blessing associated with the redemptive aspect of grace. She entered into this phenomenal discernment about what is possibly possible, what is probably possible with God in her life and with Ruth. And then it continued. She didn't give up. She trusted God, believed God, and it looked like sometimes a big difficulty and will Boaz be there or not? No, continued, believed God. God superintended the whole thing, and then she was brought to Ruth chapter 4, verse 14 and 15, where she was brought into being perfected, because grace has also tremendous perfecting value. Now Ruth is David's great grandmother. Is that amazing? Became that. Something happened with Naomi and Ruth because grace met them in their condition of affliction. When we, like, you know, the ministry, like I have come across, and that's what attracted me to follow Jesus Christ, because it was not another burden put on me. You know, weights. Have you seen people piling weights on this buffalo cart and all that? You keep piling. That's like the weights that come. And then the man beats the animal. Go forward. And what happens to the animal? Animal comes under the weight of it. Animal says, I'm going to sit down because I can't carry this. That is the principle of the law. And she was in that. There was a measure of grief and affliction, rightfully so, because the weight she carried, even with respect to not only what happened circumstantially with her life, but also what was happening within in terms of guilt and condemnation and things like that, and all the losses that she incurred. But grace met Naomi, and she didn't have to change her name back to Mara. She continued as the pleasant grace. Grace meets us. Grace has met us years before, maybe recently, at times like this. And that is why we are here today, following the Lord and worshiping the Lord and enjoying the body of Christ and fellowshipping with one another, loving one another, building one another, communicating words of hope, like apples of gold and pictures of silver. And then there is something that is stirred up in us, something that is renewed in us, something that is quickened in us. And we enter into the valley of discernment and saying, God, you have given this to me. I won't rule over my spirit in this realm, not to trade it for anything, but to keep in possession of that blessing, not to let it be stolen, and not my capacity for God be killed, or in the work that you're doing in me not to be destroyed in any way. And then we enter into the perfecting value. God will accomplish what he has begun. Philippians 1 verse 6. He who has begun a good work, he will also bring it into completion. But we must enter into the redeeming value of grace, the value of discernment associated with grace, and not just the preventive aspect of a warning or exhortation under law, but also the perfecting value that is associated with the grace of God. It involves a process, but Ruth chapter 1 is there in the Bible, Ruth chapter 4 is also there. And there would be a group of women looking at, and imagine what a privilege to raise Ruth's son, Obed, right? On her knees. Like, you know, she was like, became like a nurse. So it was more like, yeah, my life is redeemed and my life has also been brought into fruition. There is an eternal purpose I discover. And it was not grief and affliction and sorrow that brought her life to a standstill, but it was grace that met her with redeeming value, took her into the realm of discernment and preserving what God had given her to discern, and bringing her into a place of total perfection that God had for her. Today, when you think of David, you want to think of Boaz also. You want to think of Ruth, and you also want to think of Mara. Not Mara, Naomi. Pleasant grace. That's the work of God's grace in our life. And that is why we continue on. We don't have to look back, because there is a redemptive value of grace upon our lives. There is a value of discernment of grace upon our lives. And there is also phenomenally, like, to really look with a sense of hope and anticipation, there is a perfecting value of God's grace upon our life. So we keep going forward. We keep going forward, and we do it in grace all the way. Amen. So let's pray. Father, we pray that you would bless these thoughts to our hearts. We recognize, Lord, the times when we came. Maybe it was maybe even embarrassing to tell someone else what we were going through or where we were at, spiritually speaking. We walked in through these doors, and there was that certain sound of grace that visited us, took a hold of us. And today we can be in the same place of communicating that to others because of what grace has done in our lives. And the joy of seeing the redemptive value associated with grace, the discerning, the value of discernment associated with grace, and also the perfecting value, the joy of seeing that happen in the body of Christ is so phenomenal, because that characterizes the kingdom of God. Thank you, you have made us part of something bigger than ourselves. Teach us to treasure your ways, to live in the healthy fear of God before you, and to guard what has been given, to guard what has been given, never to consider another alternative, because grace will carry us through. We worship you, we praise you, we thank you. Thank you for speaking to our hearts, and thank you for this day. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. So let's stand for a closing song.